about a year ago or more, probably, we talked about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and how they fit together. This will have some of the same element to it, but we want to look specifically tonight at wisdom. Why wisdom? Why do we need wisdom? And where does it come from? When did it start? The reason why we need wisdom is that wisdom is what helps us to make decisions. Without wisdom, we cannot make good decisions. So it comes down to a real simple thing. But why wisdom? And why does that help us make good decisions? That's where the revelation comes in. The revelation is this, that God and wisdom got together. Read it in Proverbs, and we'll look at it here. In Proverbs 8, they decided to create the universe and how to do it. And wisdom was with God in the creation of the universe, which is also the creation of all the laws of the universe. Everything functions the way it functions because of laws. And those laws were all established by wisdom. So wisdom says this is the way we need to put it together so it'll work. So if we break it down real simple, you go buy a new car, it's a good idea to read the manual. If you don't read the manual and things start going haywire and you don't know why, and of course the old saying, everything else fails, read the instructions. but we don't realize how important it is, especially in this day, an age where sin becomes acceptable. As long as you pass a law that says that sin is acceptable, then it has to be acceptable. And God has to accept that, because we passed a law. But God don't listen to our laws. And so if you begin to go contrary to the laws of God, then things are going to go wrong. And there's nothing you can do about it. And just because everyone else is doing whatever evil they're doing, as Christians, we have to realize that we have to function within the laws of God. Okay? Which are also the laws of the Spirit. As the law of the Spirit that frees us from the law of sin and death. And so let's just look at wisdom as being that which is going to help us to know how to function in a world that is dysfunctional. Because it's not going to get any better. They're not going to change their mind about the laws. Okay, even though they can actually look at the deterioration. The deterioration with the marriage thing, the gay marriage, marijuana sales now. Even on the news, they're saying, well, we didn't expect this to, be the result of that. And so they actually know the bad results. Well, we didn't see that coming. It's because they're not paying attention to wisdom. They're not operating in wisdom. Like I said, they're going to continue in that direction, but we have to go in a different direction. If people want to put water in their gas tanks in their car and hope that it'll work, that's fine. But I'm going to continue to put gas in mine because that's what the manual said. So God is very keen on opening up wisdom to his people. James is very clear. If you don't have wisdom, it's because you didn't ask. You have to ask for it. And we have to keep asking for it. But I think we need to know how much we need it before we'll really get serious about asking for it. So that's kind of what we're into tonight. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attained to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In whom are hidden. Now, very often people come up to me and they say, well, I've read Proverbs 8. It's capitalized in my Bible. It's the fourth person of the Trinity. No. Then who is it? If wisdom is a him, then who is it? Is it Christ? Is it the Holy Spirit? Who is it? Well, we're not told. But the one thing we know was wisdom was with God. Now, the only comparison we have to that is, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And who are we referring to? Jesus. Let's see. The Word was with God, yeah, but the Word was God. Is wisdom God? Well, it really don't matter. All we need to do is to seek wisdom. Okay? We know that that wisdom was with God before the creation of the universe. And wisdom was the designer of the universe. Down to things that you have to look at under a electronic microscope, and it's as perfect as everything else that you can see, I mean, to the detail. So we know that it's all hidden in Christ. So it was revealed in Christ. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You will never run out of room to find more wisdom. Because it's going to be, every time you find wisdom, there's going to be more. And there's going to be more. The more you know God, the more you're going to know wisdom. The more you're walking in Christ, the greater the revelation of the wisdom. The fact is, even the details of the why of things, that's what God is. Every morning when I get up, God starts detailing things. You know, you can read the Bible, and you think you found everything, and then he says, oh, let me show you this, and all of you have experienced that. It's like, oh, wow, the depths of the wisdom, the knowledge, unsearchable. Okay, Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And then all you're getting, get understanding. Okay? When I taught that all together, we did wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So wisdom was how God designed everything. Understanding was how he put it all together. And so when we come into understanding, we see how wisdom designed everything and how it fits. Once you see how everything fits, all truth then just opens up to you. It's just a beautiful, you're talking with people and they're trying to explain their situation, and you say, oh, I understand. And what is their reply? No, you don't. And they know we don't. You know, we're just trying to be nice. And tell them, we're trying to give you our understanding. All we're saying was we're giving you a listening ear. But what I do is I don't sit there and be ready as soon as they quit talking for me to start talking. I wait on the Holy Spirit, and He gives me wisdom and insight and understanding. And so they may be talking about their situation, and God says, let's talk about your life. Let's talk about the root problems in your life. See, because God understands. He knows their destiny. He knows the plan that He had for them. He knows everything about it. And they're lost in the fog over here in their circumstances. And wisdom says, now here's the way it was supposed to be. And then we say, here's understanding. And it's beautiful to watch their eyes. Now I understand. So it's not for them to convince us to understand. It's for God to reveal to them until they understand what wisdom is. See? Now you can start making decisions. Years ago, they came around and tried to get all of us to buy counseling insurance. You had to carry $60,000. If you're a pastor or a counselor or whatever, you had to carry $60,000 worth of counseling insurance, because if you gave someone wrong counsel, they could turn around and sue you. So a lot of people just quit counseling. And a lot of people quit pastoring because they couldn't afford the insurance. Like doctors, a lot of doctors have quit doctoring because they can't afford the malpractice insurance. So it's basically the same thing. Anyway, I prayed about it, and I talked to the Lord about it, and He said, don't counsel anymore. And I said, okay, what do I do? He said, give them all of the equipment they need to make good decisions and let them make their own decisions. He said, that was the way I designed it. He said, I didn't design it for you to tell them what to do. I designed it for, because I have everything they need in my word, by the Holy Spirit. Give them everything they need so they have good equipment.
That's good.
So they can make their decisions. That way it doesn't come back on you. I mean, you could have a couple of brothers, you know, come along and say, sir, we understand you're going to have a kingdom, and we'd really like to sit on one side, one of us on one side and one of us on the other. Jesus said, you don't even understand. You look at it now, how ridiculous would that be? Who's on the left hand of Jesus, the Father, right? So they don't even, and of course Jesus understood. And then He went on with wisdom. He said, that's all in the Father's hands. You know, whoever's supposed to be there will be there. He didn't reprimand them. In other words, you're making bad decisions. So they lacked wisdom. Even though they were right there with Jesus, walked with Him every day, they made some really stupid mistakes because they lacked wisdom. Well, that's the wisdom that James is talking about, that he wants to give to the body of Christ. I was invited to be at a church board meeting. And I went in, I knew the pastor, but I didn't know any of the board. They were so divided, and they sat down at this big table. And I went over and sat against the wall, sat on the floor. I didn't even sit in a chair. I just sat down on the floor. And I let them have at it. They went on and on and on, and you know, in all of their selfishness. Finally, the pastor said, well, Wayne, do you have a word? And I said, yes, I do. And I just spoke one sentence. And the entire sentence was by the Holy Spirit and it was wisdom from above. And they all looked at each other and said, that's it. And there was instant agreement. So, wisdom from above. And of course, we'll look at it. You know, it's, how do you know when it's wisdom from above? Of course, we'll look at all the elements of that as we go along here. But why do we need wisdom? We need wisdom because people are messed up. They're acting out of carnal wisdom. It's not wisdom from above. You have to have wisdom from above to operate or function as the body of Christ. And this wisdom will, unless we're able to draw it from above, will be less and less. It'll be replaced by carnality. So wisdom is the principal thing. In other words, the whole universe functions because of wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, you don't function with God or with the universe either. Proverbs 16:16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Wow. Did you see on the news the family out in California that found those cans of gold coins?
Yeah.
Millions of dollars. Wisdom from above that you can get right here, right now, is worth more than all the gold in those coins. It's a principal thing. It's the main thing. And it's worth more than gold. It's worth more than silver. Wisdom is far better. Because if you have wisdom, then you function in sync with God. In other words, Jesus said, I do what I see my Father do. I speak what I hear my Father speak. If you can get in sync with God every day and just do what God is doing, and follow His wisdom, His knowledge, His understanding, then that's worth more than all the gold and all the silver in the world. Okay, now let's read the Proverbs 8 then, 10 through 11. Receive my instruction in preference to and striving for silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For skillful and godly wisdom is better than rubies or pearls, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. And remember, of course, there's a first before wisdom. What is that? What comes before wisdom? We're in Ecclesiastes. I'm sure you know it. What is the beginning of wisdom? Ah, you know it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear, the reverence of God.
I knew that.
So why would the fear of the Lord be the beginning of wisdom? The reason is, if you don't get it right, you're done for. See? Yeah, the fear of the Lord, and of course we know that that's reverence for God. But I reverence God because He's the one that created it all. He knows what's right. God says, if you want wisdom and you want to get things right, you come back to me. You reverence me, you worship me, and then I will give you wisdom. And in that wisdom, then your life will be correct. It will be good. It will be perfect. It will be complete. And everyone around you will then begin to benefit from the wisdom that you're receiving from above. When God created Lucifer to be the worship leader of heaven, the word worship comes from the word worth. So we're saying, God, you're worth more than I am. You know better than I do. And of course, in Isaiah 14, I am and I will lift myself above the Most High God. I will. Instead of being worshiper, he's saying, Lucifer's saying, I'm worth more than God. What I think is worth more than what God thinks. And I'll prove it. Well, you try doing that, and everything around starts falling apart. That's the reason why we have to live in the Word of God. We have to live in the Holy Spirit who's guiding us into all truth. Because we are bombarded with deterioration. Everything around us is deteriorating. And so we have to go back to the original manufacturer, to the original source, and respect what God has said. We have to reverence who God is and what He has said. And when you lose that reverence, and that's the reason why we're getting all these laws now. I remember they were talking about the gay thing. And they said, well, people are starting now to move more toward that. We know that Missouri will move more toward that once they understand. See? They're hoping to dull the minds of the people through the news, through the media, and all of that. The greater and greater dullness. Okay? You can either sit around and be taken up in the dullness, or you can begin to ask for wisdom from above. When you begin to draw in the Spirit of truth, then stuff is going to start coming from heaven that they never expected. There are going to be plagues, and there's going to be disasters as a direct result of them choosing a different way. But they're saying, God, you know, eventually, God, you've got to accept this. But what if we could receive wisdom? What we need is wisdom from above. Because wisdom from above looks totally different. Okay, Proverbs 3:19. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. So He designed it and put it together. And it was good when He did it. The end result was perfection. Everything He did, and He checked it and said it's good. Okay, Proverbs 8:22 through 29. The Lord formed and brought me wisdom forth from the beginning of His way, before His acts of old. I, wisdom, was inaugurated and ordained from everlasting, from the beginning, before ever the earth existed. When there was no deeps, I was brought forth. When there was no foundations laden with water, for before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet He had not made, notice it's talking about He as being separate from wisdom, while He had not yet made the land or the fields or the first of the dust of the earth, when He prepared the heavens, I, wisdom, was there. When He drew a circle upon the face of the deep and stretched out the firmament over it, when He made firm the skies above, when He established the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea its limit and His decree that the water should not transgress across the boundaries set by His command, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, and of course it goes on, drop down to verse 27. When he prepared the heavens, thy wisdom was there. When he drew a circle upon the face of the deep and stretched out the firmament over it. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. So when God established, yes, he did it by wisdom. And wisdom was with God before all of this was created. They have the new TV show now, Cosmos. Did anybody get to see that?
I haven't seen it, but I've
Yeah, they were showing, and they were talking about these stars now that they have found 200 billion light years away. So if you could travel at the speed of light for 200 billion years, you could get out to, and of course, many of those stars that the light is just now getting here have already novaed and are gone. Been gone for a long, long time, and their light is just now hitting the earth. But they said, of course, these are evolutionists, and so they're going to say, this all came from one atom. Just one atom. And it exploded, and all of these gases and all of this began to form as it cooled. But see, we know better than that, because it didn't start with an atom. It started with nothing. In the beginning, God created. Bara means he made something out of nothing. He didn't start with something to make something. He started with nothing. And he made something. I think he did a pretty good job. See,
that's why you have to become a nothing before you can be something.
Yes, that's right.
That's good too.
That's what I was teaching the kids today. He didn't make us. Yeah, he didn't make us to be a better us. He didn't make me a better Wayne. He did away with Wayne and made me a new creation. Exactly the same word, only in the Greek, that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. When they translated that Hebrew word, in the beginning God created, from in the Septuagint, they changed from Hebrew to Greek. That's the word they used. The same one Paul used. That we are a new creation. We are something made from nothing. So when you accepted Jesus Christ and you were born again, you're not just a new you, you're not a better you, you are a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. Amen?
Yes.
I think we can kind of shout over that one.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
So like Nelson's saying, you have to become a nothing. Before you can become something.
The devil can scream failure all day long, and God will still make something out of you.
That's right. That's
right. The activities of the day.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Preach on, brother. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. Okay. So wisdom from above then aligns us with God's design of creation. And we've talked a lot about laws, the law of gravity. You can say I don't believe in the law of gravity, but that doesn't change the law of gravity.
It didn't change anything.
Believe it or not, it's there.
And if you want to test it, you'll end up dead. Okay, so it aligns us then. I can't stress too much when God gave me this revelation. I'm sitting in my chair there at home in my office, and I could see creation, and I could see all of this, and how God is lining up his people in these last days, putting everyone in their perfect place. And as we love one another, that's going to be the key factor. Remember, here a few months ago, I was telling you that the sign of the end isn't earthquakes. It's not wars and rumors of wars. All these things you hear people teaching on it all the time. But the Bible says, but the time is not yet. Meaning there's something beyond all of that. You can look at all that, know that the time is near, but the time isn't yet. But remember, we looked at all the scriptures, and the scripture all said, this will be the sign, is that my people will love one another. There will be a unity of the Spirit. And what part of this alignment is going to come as we all begin to receive wisdom from above. And what's really going to be fun is to be in a Bible study where there won't be a teacher. You all will be the teacher. And the revelation will just jump. It'll just spark. And it'll just go. And if I make a statement, Nelson comes up with a confirming and enhancing statement. Raul comes up with even a more greater statement that enhances our statement. And then you come up and you come up and everybody begins. In other words, there's not a space of someone not talking. As soon as one stops, the next one starts. And as soon as one stops talking. And I think in this was something Paul was trying to help him with in Corinthians. You know, you have a revelation, speak your revelation, as soon as it's done, stop. And let the next one, you know, or the next one's, you know, hey, you know, and if they start to speak, you stop and let them speak. And when that one's another one starts to speak, then that one stops. And wisdom will be, you can meet a Christian on the street that you don't even know and just begin to talk with them, and they will have received the same revelation the same day that you did. I know, because I've been there and done it. Yeah. And everywhere we go, it wouldn't matter which church you went to, it wouldn't matter, you know, who you meet, where it is. The believers are going to be so ignited by wisdom from above. Yeah. And so we're going to have to be able to discern that. And so here's your discernment, James 3:17. But wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's undefiled. In other words, there's no self-promotion. There's no agenda. So many people have their own agenda, they have their own doctrines, and all of this. That defilement will all be gone. And wisdom from above won't have any of the pollution left in it. See? Now we can kind of, okay, we're going to examine wisdom with this. How about if we started asking for wisdom based on this? I want wisdom from above. I want wisdom that is pure. That means that my defilement, my preconceived notions have to be done away with. I have to give way to wisdom from above. I have to let that wisdom rule inside of me. I can't take it on as a good suggestion. Like the Ten Commandments aren't 10 suggestions. They are 10 commandments. Yeah. And wisdom from above is not a suggestion. It's how God operates. It's how God created. And you'll see how this wisdom is going to explode from the church. That even in the heavens, they will see wisdom radiating from the church. We'll get to that. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, undefiled. Then it is peace-loving. Right?
Yeah.
Courteous. It's courteous.
Mm. Considerate.
It's considerate.
Mm-hmm.
It's gentle.
Woo.
It is willing to yield to reason.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the original Greek word that was used there simply means it allows discussion. So if anyone just says, I'm right, you're wrong, end of discussion, you know it's not wisdom from above. Just cancel it right there. Because if it is wisdom from above, it can be discussed. So it's willing to yield to reason. Full of compassion. Compassion is seeing the need of another or others with a desire to help. You care more about other people than you do yourself. Okay. It is full of good fruit. It is wholehearted and straightforward. So there are no... Yeah. Have you ever been to prayer meetings where people prayed prayers and you knew they were praying for you, or at you, or about you, but you're not sure what they said, but you know whatever it was, it wasn't good. They prayed around in circles, and that's not wisdom from above. It's wholehearted, it's straightforward, it's impartial, it's unfeigned, it's free from doubts, wavering, and insincerity. That's wisdom from above. That's what I'm asking for.
Yes.
That's what I want you to be full of. Wisdom from above. And we just walk into a crowd. I'm having the pleasure of doing this, of just walking into a crowd of people, and they just start a discussion. And I just wait, and then as the wisdom starts to come in, I just begin to speak whatever it is that they're talking about. And I speak to it, and there's just this hush that comes. All of us are going to be filled with this wisdom from above, this truth that comes by the Holy Spirit. That is going to be in complete alignment with creation. Can you see where the New Age movement comes from? See? Because they're trying to look at the earth and figure out, where does this energy come from? Where does it, maybe if we go to Arizona and play a certain kind of music, that we can pick up on this energy. You see, you can't have a counterfeit until you have a real. You cannot make a counterfeit $1 bill until you have a real $1 bill. Is that right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, what if you had a counterfeit $6 bill? Well, first place, it's not counterfeit because there isn't any such thing as a $6 bill. You can't counterfeit the unreal. So what Satan has done with the New Age movement has counterfeited, and he's saying, worship the earth. Because the energy is in the earth.
Mother Earth.
Yeah, in Mother Earth. And this woo, woo, woo music, and you get in the right spot and the right energy, and these magnetic forces and gravity all working together, you're going to have this experience. See? The sad thing is they don't know that there is a real experience. And all of you have experienced that experience. We've already had that experience. Hallelujah. I had it when I was born again. Had it even greater when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Had it even greater as God brought more and more revelation And there's no end to it. But we're living in the middle of it. Okay, James 3:13 on the back side of your page there. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Okay, there's your humility again, the meekness. We're not after our own stuff. We're learning to flow with God. We're learning to walk in the Spirit and operate in love and compassion, caring more about others than we do about ourselves. And then when you line up with that, then God begins to speak to you. God is broadcasting all day, every day. Get up at midnight, He's talking. Get up 4 in the morning, He's talking. You spend time with Him in the evening, He's talking. Hallelujah. Okay? James 1:5. If any of you is deficient in wisdom. So it's not saying you either have it or don't have it. It's saying if you need more, there's a deficiency. Let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault-finding, and it will be given him. So it's just a matter of ask and keep on asking. In this aorist form of the Greek here, it's keep on, keep on, keep on. It's not just pray one time, but keep on praying. Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, I need wisdom. And when you ask for that wisdom, understand that it's going to be a revelation. It isn't just going to be a, well, yeah, that sounds like a good idea type of thing. I mean, you're going to know that you know that you know that you know. You heard from God. And this is wisdom from above. Okay? Now, let's look. Where are we going with this? What is this all about? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians 3:10-11. The purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God, in all of its infinite variety and innumerable aspects, might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose which he has realized and carried into effect in the person of Christ Jesus, our Lord. What's he up to? He is going to make a demonstration through the church that even the angelic powers of the air, the demonic powers of the air, the angels of heaven, and the heavenly sphere, which we know is the atmosphere of the earth, this wonderful wisdom of God is going to come forth. And this is going to happen in the church age. Not going to happen oftentimes somewhere. This is going to happen in the church age. Hallelujah. Folks, it's not over yet. It's not over till it's over. And it's not over until God says it's over. And God says, I have something I want to do. I want to get my people so in line with each other, so in love with each other, that I can bring forth my wisdom. And it will be, everyone will have a part, everyone will prophesy in part. And everyone will be connected to my wisdom and revelation of my Spirit. And we will all then speak and radiate the glory of God. Two by two, we're going to be able to walk out on the street and take over the street. Because of the glory of God emanating and radiating from us. Hallelujah. And those that are not ready. We'll either repent, run, or kill you.
I'll encourage you.
And I'm ready for all three.
We'll be under the throne.
Hallelujah.
Martyred.
From above.
Martyred.
Now we can come to understand Romans 8:28. See, this isn't just something to quote when babies die. You know. How ridiculous. You know. Oh, your baby died. Well, God makes all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. So I'm glad, you know, God doing what He's... Ridiculous. You know. So what is this all about? If we come to know God and we come to know wisdom from above, then we're going to see everything working together for good. Even what Satan plans for evil, God will have planned for good. And we're going to see it. We're going to know it. And we're going to be able to walk out among the people and radiate this glory because of this wisdom. Praise the Lord. And in Christ, He's going to make all things work together for good.
That's right.
See. Now, I know I've shared this with you many times, but Dr. Newman was my Greek professor in college. Not only was he brilliant, had his doctor's degree in Greek by the time he was 24 years old, but also loved the Lord and knew revelation from God. And he sat down with me and was teaching me one-on-one. And he said, Wayne, it sounds like that, you know, God's creating all of this disaster and stuff, you know. But he said, that's not the... He said, if you look at the original Greek, it's in all things. In other words, the very moment you call on God, He will start at that moment and make it all work together for good. Whether it was a good thing or a bad thing, you call on God, He will start at that moment and He will make everything work together for good. He doesn't cause the bad to be here.
That's right.
The bad is here because of Adam, because of the sin of Adam. It's here because of original sin. It's because of people's sin. And because they continued in that sinful way. And so devastation is upon the earth. But the very moment you call on God, He will turn that circumstance.
Yes.
He will change the polarity of the direction of destruction. And He will begin to work something good out of it. And so once we align with God through wisdom, we see what He's up to. We see what this is all about. And this is permeating the body of Christ, the church of the living God. And every time then that we come up on a situation, doesn't matter what it is, the very moment you step in and begin to pray, God said, I'll make a difference.
Thank you.
I'll make a difference. I'll make a difference. I didn't start it, but I'll finish it.
Thank you, Lord.
I used to have a lot of fun with Satan worshipers. I'd go out to Volker Park, was right below Nelson Art Gallery there in the city, and there'd be people, and they'd say, you know, well, we're more powerful than you are. And I knew their power. I mean, they are tremendously powerful people. Talking to them, and they said, I can make a quarter rise right off of this table. I said, go ahead. I said, you put it up and I'll put it down. Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And they won't even take the challenge. Because they don't want to know. See, they've been taught that Lucifer created God. I don't know if you've been in around Satanic, but they actually believe that Lucifer created God. And Jesus came forth out of this created God. And so Lucifer is actually greater than the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Exactly what he said in Isaiah 14. I will lift myself above the Most High God. And so, yeah, go ahead and levitate. I don't mind you doing that. You put it up and I'll put it down. You can lift that table up and they can. You put it up, I'll put it down. They won't take the challenge. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 and 7. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. So you see why he's bringing the church to maturity. Now he's saying, now speak. See, why didn't he do it 10 years ago? Why didn't he do it 20 years ago? Because the churches were all still fighting each other, all trying to prove they were right. I'm right, you're wrong. And so he said, no, I'm waiting for maturity, which love is what brings us to that maturity. Among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age. So he's saying it's not of the world or of the age, the cosmos, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Did you hear the good news? The rulers are coming to nothing. When wisdom comes in, rulers come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. For whose glory? For our glory. Are you getting it?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So that's where it jumps, room to room, person, person to person in a room. Comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. Hallelujah. I hope you're having as much fun with this as I am. Ephesians 1, verses 16 and 17. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Know Him and you will know wisdom. Why? Because the first verse we read said it's all hidden in Christ. They've gone full loop and you're right back to where you started.
That's cool.
Yes!
Hallelujah.